There are a lot of efforts to reduce the impacts of climate change, from using renewable energy to changing how and where we drive. But a new campaign is focusing on our diets. The Cool Food Pledge aims to cut food-related greenhouse gas emissions by 25% by 2030 and encourage diners to eat more plant-based food. With me to talk about this is Rich Waite, a researcher with the food program at the World Resources Institute based in D.C., which is behind the pledge. And Rich, why is it better for the environment for us to eat less meat and more plant-based food?
So if you look across the range of foods that we eat, producing animal-based foods, so meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, tends to be more resource-intensive than producing plant-based foods just because the animals have to first eat plants, so there is an inefficiency introduced into the process. And so if you look, for example, at resource use per gram of protein, it takes about 20 times as much land and 20 times as many greenhouse gas emissions to produce a gram of protein of beef as it does to produce a gram of protein of beans. So you can see that there is a resource efficiency when you start moving from eating less meat and eating more plant-based foods.
Is that just because of needing more feed for animals, water to grow the grass or whatever else it is that they're going to eat?
That's exactly right. So if you look at land use or water use or greenhouse gas emissions per calorie that we eat or per gram of protein that we eat, again, because the animals first need to eat plants in the form of crops like corn or soy or the form of grass, it does take more land, more water, more greenhouse gas emissions per calorie per gram of protein for the animal-based foods. And the most resource-intensive of the animal-based foods are the ruminant meats, so that's beef, lamb, and goat. And then sort of in the middle are all of the other meats and dairy and eggs.
So are you advocating that people basically just become vegans and do away with meat and dairy and eggs in their diets altogether? Or is there sort of a happy medium where people can eat a little bit of both?
Well, there's definitely a happy medium. I mean, even if you look at the proportion of Americans that are vegetarian and vegan today, I think it's something like 5 to 6% are vegetarian, and maybe half of which are vegan. So it's a pretty big lifestyle change for a lot of people. But luckily, there's a lot of kind of happy medium diets where we are reducing environmental impacts quite a bit, but people still get to eat the full range of foods that they enjoy. So, for example, we did some modeling looking at, well, what if the average American reduced their meat and dairy consumption by half and switched towards plant-based foods? And their land use and food-related land use and greenhouse gas emission dropped by between 40% and 50%. And then we looked at scenarios where even they shifted just a proportion of the beef that they're eating towards legumes, fruits and vegetables, and even their impacts dropped by between 13% and 35%. So there's certainly a lot of ways to eat healthier and more sustainably while still eating the range of foods that you enjoy.
Are we currently growing enough produce to feed all those extra people and the amount of additional fruits and vegetables they're eating, even if people maybe only shift a percentage of their diet in that way?
Yeah, I mean, well, diet shifts happen over time, and then, you know, the changes in the agricultural system would happen over time as well. So, I mean, the good news is if people do make those types of diet shifts over time, we can be feeding more people while using less land, using less water, emitting less greenhouse gases. The system certainly could adapt over time.
What is the scale needed to really make this happen? I know that you're working with a number of larger organizations and dining services to try to do this. It sounds like it's something that would have to happen not necessarily just in people's kitchens, but maybe on bigger scales.
That's exactly right. I mean, if we're trying to change, influence people's diets one by one, that's probably not going to move the needle. But it's really interesting to see companies and universities, restaurants, hospitals, other large dining facilities starting to think about shifting their offering towards more plant-based or more plant-rich dishes. And so one of the newest initiatives out there is something that we're leading called the Cool Food Pledge. Basically, it's a global commitment platform that helps dining facilities commit to offer delicious food while reducing their food-related emissions by 25% by 2030. And we know that's a level of ambition that's in line with the goals of limiting global temperature rise to 1.5 or 2 degrees Celsius.
Where is the agriculture community in terms of having good enough technology in terms of water usage and other kinds of things to really, if they're going to be potentially growing more food for more people to eat, are they in a place now, or are they close to a place where they can do that and not be using more water and not basically defeating the purpose of having people not eating meat and dairy and eggs?
Yeah, and that's a really good question. So we know from a total greenhouse gas standpoint and from a land use standpoint, basically any shifts away from meat, especially beef and lamb, and towards plant-based foods is going to be a net win for the environment. When you look at water use, especially irrigation water use, it can get a little trickier just given that fruits and vegetables do require quite a bit of irrigation water. So that's one thing that we're advising the dining providers to do, is to really do their due diligence about where their fruits and vegetables are coming from to make sure there's no unintended consequences, you know, from an environmental or social point of view.
All right. Rich Waite is a researcher with the food program at the World Resources Institute in Washington, D.C. Rich, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks so much.